This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX 204. Beautiful day out there. Going to be even better over the weekend. And next week we have 3 or 4 days above 70 degrees. So getting pretty close.
Yeah.
We don't talk a lot of blues here on the show that much, but Wheels just had an update.
Yeah, the Blues put this out just a little bit ago. I mean, they tweeted it 2 minutes ago, and it's obviously getting some buzz now. But Colton Parayko had a procedure on his knee, a scope, and he will be reevaluated in 6 weeks. So, I mean, that doesn't mean out for 6 weeks. That means in 6 weeks, we will have an idea of how much longer he will be out. That's what that typically means. So do the math. I mean, the season's there's 19 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 19? Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's 19. And that's all of that time, basically. If not all of it, damn near it. So you're 2 points out of the last playoff spot in the West. You're battling with two teams, Calgary and Vancouver. They both have games in hand on you, which means more points that they could add than you can add, more available points the rest of the year. You're not in a bad position. Like, you have an easier schedule than them. So, like, they're still there. You know, there's a reasonable chance of getting that eighth spot, but you're not getting better than the eighth spot based on the standings. You know, Colorado is the seventh team, and they're quite a bit ahead of where the eighth spot is. And just a better team, too. Like, they're just better than that spot. So the trade deadline's tomorrow, and you just lost your best defenseman. And
is it a lot like the baseball trade deadline? Like, just, I know it's two different sports,
There can be the flurry of action. Yeah, yeah. It's a little tougher in hockey because everything's got to match up with the cap. Teams need to, somebody maybe needs to hold back and eat some salary for another team so they can make it work. So it's a little more complicated, but typically it's pretty active. Typically the contenders are trying to shore up holes, and the teams that are going to be out of it are trying to get future assets. And then the question, though, is like, if you're the Blues, which are you now? Do you want to add anything? Well, you certainly don't want to try to add anything that will cost you anything of value for the future, because your best case is 8th seed, which means you're facing the 1 seed. So your best case is a really tough matchup in the first round of the playoffs. And then the worst case is you're in the lottery and you might get a top 10 pick. And how do you weigh those things? How do you weigh what are you willing to trade away versus, like, are you willing to trade away a veteran player now? Were you before? I don't know. Bernie and I had this discussion this morning, like, before we knew the Parayko news that just came out a few minutes ago. And there's a valid debate. And I think the thing that we kind of agreed on, Bernie and I, was like, you know, it's probably best to just hold. Just play it out. You're playing pretty well right now. You've played well since coming out of the Four Nations, and you move forward. And I'm going to guess that's probably the direction, but I just wondered out loud on Twitter, like,
yeah,
whether or not this injury changes that at all.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Razor's Edge?
Yeah, to continue our discussion from yesterday, I found an article. 14 things, we don't have to do all 14, but 14 things that were considered rude 20 years ago that are now seen as polite.
You're on a kick here.
Well, I just thought this was interesting because the way like technology and culture has moved around, there are several things where it's like, yeah, back in the day, it would have been seen as extremely rude, but now everybody's doing it.
Yeah.
So let's go through a couple of them.
Okay.
The first one is texting instead of calling. 20 years ago, if you would have gotten a text, people would have been like, oh, I don't even know if I have this in my phone plan. Yeah. Now, if you call, people are like, what is wrong with you? This better be an emergency.
Yeah. No, that's a good point because it cost per text back in the day.
Yeah.
I told the story before. I would text Bulger. I would call Bulger and he would text me back. And I would call him and he would not answer and text me back. Like he was training me. And he was,
for the future.
For the it was. And he was the first friend I ever had that didn't want to talk. I mean, it wasn't like I was talking on the phone, my princess phone, with all my friends at night. But finally, he just goes, let's just text.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess we're not as good of friends as I thought we were.
No.
And now I look back and I must have seemed like a psycho.
It's just better that way. I think we all agree. You don't need a conversation for everything. And if something needs a conversation, well, then you do that.
And Rach, you may be getting to this, but were you on the show back in 97.1 when Mark was on the show when it was a Sweet 16 of rude things and looking at your phone while eating a meal with someone won? And now in a relatively short amount of time, that's just completely acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that won the Sweet 16 of rudest things you could do.
I don't think I was on the show for that, but I mean, it's still pretty rude to like be at like if someone's invited you to dinner.
Well, one on one's different, but like when the four of us go,
yeah.
And of course, we're like the monkeys. We live together, but
yeah.
Pretty much when we sit down, we all like look at our phones.
But if we were to go out to a dinner, the four of us, and it was like we're going to dinner together, and any of us were on our phones, we'd all be like, "What the heck? Like, what are you doing?" Right?
Who's most likely?
Me.
Yeah, probably Andrew.
Yeah, me.
Depends on what's going on. Is there a game on? Because I'm probably checking the score.
All right, the next one is sending emails for formal communication. Used to be considered rude. Now that's like the best way to get your formal idea across. You want to invite someone to come on the show. You want to invite someone to do something. That's how you show you're serious is I'm going to send it to their email instead of the text.
We used to have to fax.
Oh my god.
Like interview requests to teams back in the day. You have to get to their PR and send the fax to their number. They had a form you had to fill out and you faxed it in. Did not miss that.
Man, I hate fax machines. We had to use them at Radio Shack for like important stuff. For whatever reason, they hadn't phased out the fax machine yet. And I would always be like, did it go through? What's going on? You don't get like a thumbs up emoji back.
Do people still use it?
I'm sure, but probably not much.
Some people still want it faxed, and I know that because every now and again, somebody will come to me here at work, and they'll ask me if I know how to fax something, and I'll say, number one, I don't know if we even have a fax machine here anymore, and number two, no, I don't. I have no idea how to fax something. No idea how it works.
The next one is using speakerphones in public. I still think this is rude, but here's
the
reason they give. Using a speakerphone in public used to be seen as disruptive and rude. It often invaded the privacy of those around you. But with the rise of remote work and virtual meetings, speakerphones have become a practical necessity.
No, they haven't.
People.
Bluetooth it. Put your headphones on. Stop doing that.
I will say I would almost rather hear both sides of the conversation than just one. Yeah.
Just
know?
One random person talking out loud.
At the airport a couple months ago and somebody was having a very loud Bluetooth conversation and I'm going, let me know what she's saying back
right.
Because, you know, I'm only getting your side of the story.
Man,
here.
I'm sorry, Dad, for throwing you under the bus. My dad does this all the time. Anywhere we are, and he's just going like, I got to call your Aunt Mary. And he does it like, don't do it on speakerphone. Nobody else cares what you guys are going to be. And you're both going to be, you know, on speaker, you can't always hear clearly.
So you say it louder.
And they're on speaker on both sides of it. Yeah. And then they're talking over each other. And it's like, oh my God, just use the handset. Call from home.
This next one I find very interesting. And that's declining invitations. So back in the day, it used to be like, oh, they didn't want to come to my event. That stinks. Now, you're just lucky that you got a response to the invitation.
Hmm.
And so the declining of it is seen as polite as opposed to just ghosting and saying nothing back.
That makes sense.
That's been a real trouble. My brother's getting married in May, and that's been a real trouble that they've had is they don't know how many people are actually coming because nobody's responding to the RSVP.
Yeah.
So it's either people are going like, they know I'll be there. Or they're going like, I'm not going to go to that, but I'm not going to send the, like, no thanks RSVP.
Do they have a, like, RSVP by this date on the invitation, do you know?
I don't know.
Probably.
You better.
Yeah,
I mean, you need to give people a deadline
You'd
for
think.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
And if you miss the deadline, don't show up.
Mm-hmm. You're not invited anymore. The next one is bringing your own food to events. That used to be seen as an insult to the host's offerings, which makes sense. But so many people have dietary restrictions and their own personal health choices. It's now considered to be considerate and practical.
Yeah.
Correcting someone's pronunciation was often seen as condescending and rude, and it could embarrass the person being corrective. But today, people may appreciate corrections as a way to learn and show respect for different cultures and languages.
Yeah.
It depends. Yeah. To me, it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
And the reason for the mispronunciation, right? Like, if it's a mispronunciation, like I just pronounced it poorly. If it's one of those things where it's because someone has got an accent, they're from the South, they're from the Northeast, or they're from a Spanish-speaking country, and their pronunciation is just because of their accent, you probably should leave it alone and not bother with it because it's just an accent. We all have them. We just don't recognize it as much when you're used to the accent that you have. But when it's clearly, okay, like, oh, that's a different word. You're saying the wrong word. It's okay to correct that.
Really?
But it depends on who it is, though.
Who
if it's
you,
like if it's your
who would
buddy,
you correct?
I don't know. People I know well.
Like if Andrew said supposedly.
Yeah, I would say Andrew, that's not supposedly, it's supposedly. There's a D in there. Yeah. I would do that. Would
but
I,
you're able would to would suppose I, it's supposedly.
No, it's not. But the I would probably hesitate to a total stranger. Just because it probably doesn't matter.
Probably for the best.
It probably doesn't matter in that case either, though. You know?
The next one is taking pictures of your food. It used to be seen as rude, and now we just all do it all the time, and we've kind of given up as a society.
It's society, not society.
Oh, it was
society.
Seen as rude?
Oh, thank you, Wheels. What's that, Dave?
It was seen as rude before. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it was just strange. Like, what are you doing? Why are you... I mean, before camera phones, or even when you just had, like, kind of a dumb phone that still had a camera, those pictures didn't turn out great. So it's like, what are you doing? But now everyone has a really nice camera on their phone. They want to show off what they're eating. Asking about pronouns. Yeah, I could see how that would be insulting in the past, and now it's just a nice thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, you know, I could assume you could do that to the wrong person and offend them greatly, but lots of people, it's seen as polite.
In what situation would you ask someone for their pronouns? You guys?
Never. I just wouldn't. I would.
Would you need to expect that someone was non-binary or trans?
I'd have to have intel. I'd have to know something. But mostly, I'd just work around it. There are plenty of ways to say words without even using the words you would need to use.
Well, you can always say they for everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm with Kevin. I just work around it. I use a lot of y'alls and stuff like that.
Yeah, right. I've never, you know, now that you're bringing it up, Dave, I've never said like, hello, can I please have your preferred pronouns? It's never happened organically, and I kind of can't see a situation where it would happen.
Yeah, and it never came up with me.
And if it's somebody that you're going to be spending any amount of time around, you can just kind of keep an ear out. And hear how other people address them.
Yes.
I guess I just don't
comfortable
use
with that.
Pronouns that much.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. They're easy to just not use.
They're easy to not use. Instead of saying,
this is my friend Lisa.
Right.
This is my friend Kevin.
Names.
Yeah. Instead of saying, where's he or whatever, you can always say, where's Kevin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my friend?
It.
Where's
my
buddy? Where's my pal?
Where's my pal
Kevin?
Once
again, we solved a major societal problem with little to no effort.
There's nothing the DGS can't do.
Yeah, we got it all done.
Nailed it.
We'll just do one more here. Things that used to be considered rude, but now are considered to be polite or just fine. And that is using emojis in professional communication. It was once deemed unprofessional and childish. However, I'm just going to speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to send me a nice little work email or work text with a smiley face on the end of it, that makes me feel like $1 million.
Emojis are very useful.
But it depends. Like in professional settings, though, there are some you shouldn't use, right?
Like the poop emoji?
Or the middle finger or whatever. That's my favorite one.
And you watch Dutch television shows. 223, DGS. Do you know the story of the transgender mice?
Well, are they actually transgender?
No, I saw this story. This is actually hilarious.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
So during the sort of State of the Union, the president was going on, you know, just like listing all these things and all this waste. And I believe the number he assigned to it was $10 million. We're spending $10 million on transgender mice, and everyone booed, and he like shook his head like, can you believe it? So, Wheels, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I understand it, it's not transgender.
No.
It's transgenic.
Transgenic, yeah.
Trans meaning across.
Yes.
Genic meaning genes.
Yes.
And so they're doing experiments on mice, and they're trying to move one gene across to another gene, so it's transgenic.
Yes.
But they thought it said transgender.
Apparently. Probably not a mistake you should be making.
No.
Speaking to the entire nation about important things.
No.
And it's just one of those things, too. Like, forgetting him for a second, any of us. If you don't know, don't bring it up. If you're not sure, the problem is he's probably sure.
Well, yeah, I think he was 100%
right. Like, in his mind,
certain.
He's right, yeah. And he read it right, or whoever gave it to him was right. But, yeah, yeah. Those are two very different things. First of all, they're not spelled the same.
They're not the same word.
They're not
at
the
all.
Same word at all. They don't mean the same thing. One has nothing to do with the other. Yeah.
Transmission.
Yeah.
Lots of words with trans in
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking like whoever wrote that into the speech is probably in trouble today, because I highly doubt Trump was sitting there going through the spreadsheet himself,
yeah.
picking out the most egregious
no.
things.
No.
Yeah, it very well could easily be like, you know, one of Elon's teenagers that are running this thing don't know the difference, and they saw something like that and just wrote down what they thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can be smart about certain things, programming, whatever, and not know scientific terms. Mm-hmm. It's not a crazy thing, but nothing should ever reach the level of a presidential speech that is just factually wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of genes, a big story out today in several different outlets. For as long as I've been alive, we've been talking about the Fountain of Youth and this and that. And recently, like, you know, gene editing. And there's a new article out saying, like, no kidding around. We're really, really close on this one. Like, we're really close in the next few years to being able to stop aging and then possibly reverse aging. They're doing it again in mice. What do you think? Will we adjust to that if that truly happens in the next 20 or 30 years during your lifetime range?
So reverse aging in a way to where your body actually doesn't deteriorate, or you just
yes.
look younger?
I don't know the difference between those two things, but I'm guessing at least. I mean, I can't imagine how they could do it other than actually doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that there is this effect on cells where they age, where when they replicate, they don't replicate fully. And by the time, you know, you get up into your 70s and 80s, they're just not replicating much at all. So if they can reverse that, then you just, I guess you pick an age.
So then we stop reproducing? Because if nobody's aging, or let's say you're living 200 years
right.
instead of 80 years, mm-hmm. well, then we're going to have a massive population problem real fast. Like, pretty as soon as you figure that out.
Well,
there's two. I mean, how are you going to pay for it forever for Social Security for people if they're retired at age 75? And they're living until 180.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just...
Unless you're just going to keep working because you're young and...
Because you're young.
Yeah.
I say this as a woman in her 30s, which the media is very hyper-focused on letting me know that I'm getting old. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, everything's targeted towards, like, get rid of those fine lines, get rid of those wrinkles, get yeah. baby Botox now before you think you need blah, blah. I'm so sick of all of it. It's not the end of the world to age. It happens to everyone. And this obsession we have with, like, stopping it, or, you know, just changing it, or I'll be the one, like that billionaire who, you know, gets blood transfusions with
his son
or
yeah.
whatever. It's like, dude, you don't look good. You look crazy. So,
yeah.
I mean, if this is going to help people, fine, but for just doing it for vanity's sake, seems like we're going down a bad path there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
233 DGS. Can you tell your nose story?
Yeah, I was just on the break. I don't know exactly what I was doing, but I was just like scratching my nose or something, or just like pressing down on my nose. And I totally forgot the cameras were on. I'm like, man, I hope it doesn't look like I was picking my nose.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't.
Well, two things. As long as I'm on this stream, no one's going to look at you because I am.
Movement.
Constant so handsome. Movement. I am constantly scratching my head and picking at this and picking at that. And apropos of your story, just within this past week, I was driving home and I am full on picking my nose. I'm not scratching my nose.
Right, right.
I'm picking my nose.
You got something that's got to get taken care of.
And it's one of those, we all do it, I'm chasing something.
Yeah.
I've got to run.
Oh, and it's moving. Okay. Yeah.
I've got to
move.
Oh, you guys are gross.
I've got an Andy Dufresne.
He's going farther. He's hiding.
Yeah, he's going farther and farther in the tunnel.
Yeah. And I'm in the left lane of stop and go traffic, and I look to my right, and there's an attractive woman looking at me, just cracking up.
Yeah. Did you give a wave?
I just owned it.
Did you keep the finger in and just give the wave with the rest of the hand?
What are you going to do?
Man, there's not a person alive that hasn't done it.
Yeah.
And anybody judging, stop it.
That is kind of funny. I understand the concept of manners.
Right.
If I'm at home, I can stick my hands down my pants.
Sure.
If I'm at Applebee's, I should.
Yeah, probably don't do that.
Yeah.
But it is kind of weird that manners are basically not doing things around other people that you do all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, just and again, to make sure I got it.
And that's fine, too, right? There are things that other people do not need to witness. You know, it's cool.
Bill says, now that you're on cam, you should start selling advertising on Dave's t-shirts. Yeah, we thought about that. And I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to regret this. But if you send me a t-shirt, like, to promote something, I'll wear it. I mean, like,
you have like 9,000 t-shirts.
Not like your,
as long as it's a t-shirt Dave likes. We'll put that disclaimer on it.
Yeah. It makes me look good.
Yeah. What if it's itchy?
Then Andrew can wear it.
Because man, some of those t-shirts are itchy. Why do they even make the itchy t-shirts?
I know
who you are.
Yeah, as they're making them, they're like, these
stop making the itchy t-shirts, man. They have all the nice soft ones.
Once you figured out how to make soft ones,
and then like this one's not a soft one, but it's that smooth material, so it's like it's a little weightier, but it's not like,
keep talking.
Oh, I actually really like that shirt. Yeah,
and it's not a, it's not like one of the, you know, good soft material ones, but it's also not itchy.
Yeah.
No, like when you pick up a t-shirt and it's the ultra low quality material, it's like, come on. It's 2025. What are we doing?
Kevin has a billboard size shoulders.
Billboard size, a lot of things.
Hey, easy, brother.
Forehead. Here, just put an advertisement right there. We get like 72 font right across.
Yeesh.
People are complaining about when I take my hat off.
They should not.
It's jarring. It's not a big deal, but
hey, thanks, Ray.
Well, it takes a second. You go, who is that?
It's,
oh, it's
thanks,
Dave.
Best friend.
It's shocking.
It takes it's a shocking. Second to like.
It knocked me on my ass. I mean, you know.
You go, who is that person?
Had trouble keeping
Dave.
My lunch down.
That's not what jarring means.
Yeah,
it
that's
means,
true.
Whoa.
Jarring can be a positive.
Yeah.
You see someone really sure. good looking, and you're like, whoa.
Okay.
Wow. Sure.
Now it's getting a little deep.
I think that might be the problem, Dave. Is people are like, whoa.
It's jarringly sexy.
Yeah. Didn't know it was this kind of
yeah,
show.
Didn't know this was a not safe for work stream.
People are trying to work.
Somebody's like, is this an OnlyFans?
I meant good disturbing.
Didn't say disturbing, said jarring.
What about that? I'll open an OnlyFans and then just walk around dressed like this. And then at some point you go like, okay, well, here's the money shot.
Yeah. I mean,
this is what you people came here for.
The best part is, I don't think you can see it on camera because they're a little low res, but he wears the hoodie,
the
beanie so often that he gets little like indents in the
side. Oh, does he?
Yeah. He got ridges.
Like, he's been wearing the beanie all day.
I love the
and
right here.
Jarring.
She's like, here's what he does.
As I point at you.
Does he point
that's
at me?
What he looks like.
Speaking of manners.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what this freaking freak does. Take your hat off, freak.
His headphones press his beanie into his head and makes an ending.
It's like he's got a flesh beanie.
Yeah, what if we got you a beanie that was the exact same color as your skin?
Just keep talking.
I think that would be kind of fun.
Just keep on going.
Although,
nothing hurts
me. Let me think about that one, though.
Yeah,
let's
I thought about
one.
It for a second, too. And I
yeah, let's not
back.
Do that one.
Yeah.
I have rejected my comments.
Where would we find one of those?
I'm going to die.
Yep.
So, Dave, we thought we'd kick something up on the stream.
Yeah. Ooh.
We're going to get a lot of viewers, but I don't think you're going to like them.
So this is same color as your flesh, but you sort of caps the top. Okay.
Dave's like, that sounds like a great idea.
It'll make people laugh.
What logo will we put on there? Dave, we got a question. It says, do you wear the hat during the summer as well?
No, right?
No. Yeah.
There's a day.
There's a day where he sheds the beanie.
There's a day. But then and then I'm nakey head all summer.
Yeah.
But then there's a day where the beanie, and you're all like, here we go.
We get the reverse. We get the reverse, what do you call it? What did you
Groundhog
say?
Jarring.
Right? Jarring. Yeah, we get the reverse jar. We're like, whoa, it's that time.
We're soothed. We're like, oh.
It's kind of like Groundhog Day. It's like, all right, just two more weeks of summer, and then it's then it's cold season.
It's our Groundhog Day. Yay, the warm time is here.
Is he going to be wearing his beanie or not?
Damn it, six more
he
weeks.
Just woke up.
Damn it, it's still going to be cold. He's wearing it.
No, it's cold out there for a pimp, man. Joel says, do you wear baseball caps? Joel, I don't. Because I feel like I look stupid in baseball caps.
You had a phase. You had a phase that? You were wearing them for a while there.
I tried.
Like 6 years, five, 6 years
ago. Yeah,
I
tried.
I thought you looked good in baseball hats.
I think everybody
looks good in a baseball
hat. Yeah, I agree.
I think it really depends on the hat. Like
That's a good point.
A low profile.
Yep.
I don't like the big, you know.
No, I don't like the flat brim. Don't do that. Unless you're 18, don't do that.
Yeah, I can't wear it backwards because then you just look like Les Douches. So. Let me tell you, Kev, I was really fat. It was like, God, 70 pounds heavier than now. And so losing weight's hard. So I just decided to accessorize.
Right.
And so I decided, like 2004, that I would work the Samuel L. Jackson backwards Kangol hat.
Oh, okay.
So I found one. That's not easy, first of all. Right? They're hat places, and they're just like, really? So I wore it in that morning, and the first guy I saw was Super Jim Modulin, my partner in crime back then, did all my comedy stuff with me, and he's sitting at his desk, and I walk in, and he looks at me, and he looks at the hat, and he looks at me, and he goes, okay.
So we're doing this.
And I took it off, and I never put it back on.
It's a good look, but it's a look you got. It's got to fit you.
And you got to own it.
Yeah.
You got to be able to back that up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to be able to live it.
Yes.
Dave, what did people say about your ankle bracelet?
Oh, yeah.
Wait, you had an ankle bracelet.
Exactly. back before Phoebe, and we would go traveling, and this is probably like, yeah, again, 2002. And I love Amber, so I just love, like, you know, just Amber. You know,
oh, I thought you were talking about a person.
We all know.
Let me just get this out there.
You know how in love I am with Amber.
I'm like, I don't know Amber.
And there was an Amber shop down in Playa del Carmen, and they had this really cool ankle bracelet. And I was, like, trying to be very bohemian back then. And so I bought one, and I come in after the vacation wearing, like, shorts and my Hawaiian shirt and my new Amber insectiferous ankle bracelet. And there's this guy named Kevin. And Kevin was physically transported from the 40s. Like, he don't talk like this, you know, like, he was that guy. And so I'm walking through, he was in sales, and you know how when you walk,
I know which Kevin you're talking about.
Yeah, Delansky.
Yeah.
And so I get past him, and much like you, he has no modulation to his voice.
He and I are definitely
alike. He's like, what the hell was that? Was that Glover wearing a woman's bracelet around his hand? And I'm just like, I can't win.
I love Kev.
I can't win.
He's awesome.
Then I went through my Lenny Kravitz stage, which Rachel hated.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was like when I first started working at MS, and I was like, that guy wears a lot of scarves.
And that's because I was really skinny.
Oh, those scarves, not the...
I was really skinny, and I decided I was going to not just wear hats, but slouch hats. Like, I'm the lead singer of Counting Crows, and scarves and t-shirts and just...
Oh, I was going to say that you didn't go for the leather vest shirtless
Lenny
Kravitz.
No. It was soft, Lenny.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
But it was out there.
Yeah.
Dave tries.
Yeah, I say, at least you'd done some stuff.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Amy says you would probably look good in a cowboy hat.
Yeah?
Yep.
Nope. I tried that once. See, I tried the dork version of everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So the only time I tried anything like a cowboy hat was on vacation one time, and I bought one of those sort of Australian cowboy hats.
Yeah.
And real close to the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you went for the Crocodile Dundee?
I did.
Did you have a big knife?
That's not a knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
And I looked exactly like I was wearing a fake Australian hat, so...
I did that to a guy in Australia with a dinner knife. It's just like a regular butter knife. He thought it was funny.
He just seemed completely insane.
Yeah.
When he held up the pretend.
I had the memory.
Yes.
I had the memory,
and
it was hilarious.
It's like if we were all psych residents meeting with a new patient, we're like, this guy is...
I just snapped back into my own time.
So tell me about the Wayne Gretzky thing.
Yeah, as you can imagine, with all of the the jokes about the 51st state, or not jokes, I don't know. I don't even know what to think is a joke. But the mentions of Canada as the 51st state and the tariffs and everything else, there are a lot of people in Canada that are mad that Wayne Gretzky basically hasn't stuck up for his home country, that he hasn't spoken up and said, hey, don't say stupid things like that, or hey, that's not cool, or hey, don't be doing things that are hurting, you know, my fellow Canadians and all that.
And is it because he's some sort of friends with Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, he is a supporter from my understanding. I don't know that. I mean, I've seen him with a hat. I'm pretty sure that he falls in that group. But also, he's Mr. Canada. Like, he is the... Whatever you think of as, I don't know who you would say is like Mr. America, like who's the most American of all time. I mean, that's Wayne Gretzky in Canada. Like, that's the guy. And there were people that were hoping that somebody of his stature would. Now, I don't know that that's perfectly fair. I think that's kind of silly. And it's kind of the opposite dynamic that we talked about earlier with LeBron. People get mad that LeBron talks about things too much in the political world, and now here's Gretzky getting yelled at for not doing it. Yelled at by different people, but the point is it's kind of like opposite sides of the same coin. So he's getting heat from a large number of Canadians. I don't know what percentage, because I do know that there are Canadians that are very conservative, and they wish their country was more conservative, and they're supportive of the MAGA movement and Donald Trump and all that. I don't think they're very happy about tariffs causing problems there. I don't think they're happy about the 51st state references because it's kind of demeaning to them. They are their own nation. They're a really large nation. They're an ally nation, and we shouldn't talk about them like that. So I don't know how that whole thing is playing out in that group. I don't pay that close attention to it. But I know that there are a lot of stories and a lot of people on social media that are talking about Wayne Gretzky and whether or not he should speak up about I don't even know about taking a political stance, but just more defend Canada. Like, stick up for your homeland. I saw a story written about it, though. It points out, I mean, you know, Wayne Gretzky's basically lived in the U.S. since the late 80s. You know, I think he's a U.S. citizen. He probably has dual citizenship, if I understand it correctly. Hmm. I don't think any famous person should be under any obligation to speak up on those things. So I don't think I wouldn't criticize Gretzky for it. I wouldn't criticize LeBron for speaking, or I wouldn't criticize Michael Jordan for not speaking. Michael Jordan didn't speak up on social issues at all during his playing career, or I don't really think since. It's just kind of he's chosen to stay out of that. But yeah, right now Wayne's getting some heat. But I don't know how serious it is, but I do know it's everywhere. Like, the conversation is happening widely. It's not just a handful of people on Twitter yelling at him. I mean, it's been written about in major Canadian publications. It's being talked about on TV and radio. So it's a thing.
Just so interesting, because like you said, people get mad at LeBron for doing the opposite, and then it's like, okay, I'll stay out of it, and then people are still never happy.
I mean, the fact is people are just unhappy with anyone who is saying or doing anything that they disagree with.
Right.
It's never the principle of whether or not a celebrity, famous person should have a stand or take a stand or say anything. You just don't want them to say things you disagree with. Right. There are the people that tell Hollywood people to shut up and do whatever. They don't ever tell Clint Eastwood he should shut up. And by the way, none of them should. All of them should say what they want, and we can form whatever opinions we want about all of it. They can, and if they choose not to say anything, that's okay too. How many millions of Americans don't publicly say things? Most don't.
And if they're saying something sufficiently annoys us that we no longer want to go to their concerts or watch their movies, then you don't go.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
So many things in life that are like that are just self-policing. That we feel the need to add another layer of policing to. Like, no, mm-hmm. this will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually, if it really is a thing, right? If it really is a big deal. Because a lot of the things that we thought were going to be big deals, and remember the whole, there's that big cancel culture thing. When's the last time anybody talked about that? When's the last time you heard somebody reference cancel culture? It's been a year or two, hasn't it?
Seems like it.
Because the people that were allegedly canceled weren't. They might have lost some fans, but they still have others, right? And if you're lost at all, well, then you probably weren't that big to begin with, and probably were on the edge of it being gone anyway. I like to listen to your fears. You can.